The biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument.
The Green Bay Packers
were the way it ended, but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be close to.
Kyle, you're not feeling this. You're...
Well, Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel.
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
And good morning and happy Father's Day to those with the fathers, those that are fathers, all that. It's Father's Day in Wisconsin and everywhere else. It's U.S. Open Sunday. It's not NBA Game 5. What's up with that? I feel like that's like Michael Jordan won his like NBA Finals on Father's Day. We really need to go to Monday? So much going on. Have you gotten out to AmFam Field yet?
I have. I was there on Tuesday with the Truth team.
Oh, the Blue Jays game.
Yeah, good game.
That was going to be your big game, finally. I'm Mr. Brewer, but I refuse to go to games this year.
Quite busy.
Dude, come on.
I am quite busy.
You're in the media. You could go with a press pass for free to every single Brewers game.
You know what? Let me talk to somebody. I don't have a press pass. The last press pass I have is from 2018, 19.
You don't think the Brewers would want the Truth and the Sunday Karma co-host out there with how supportive you've been of the team?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think they would deny your credential request?
No, they would not. You know what? They had today for Father's Day, they're actually giving out their Brewmaster shirt, and I wore it to a park in the Mequon area and then also wore it out to work yesterday Friday to support the Brewers. And you know how many people are like, oh, I want that. Make sure you go to the Brewers game, be one of the first 16,000. Yeah.
16,000?
I believe it is 16,000, if my memory serves me correct, to get that Brewmaster shirt. It is a nice button-up shirt.
By the way, I just got to, Father's Day, I'll tell you. So we did a little Father's Day Friday night. Just make the whole weekend. So Harper and I kicked it over to IHOP. On Miller Parkway.
Oh, you ever did you stay there for 24 hours?
You ever hit that International House of Pancakes?
Not the one over there. I've seen it, but I never hit that one. I'm on the Northwest Side.
So, by the way, we're going to be talking about this this bet because Jen paid off her bet.
2 years later.
So, but now I'm on the clock because I wasn't going to pay off my bet until she paid off her bet.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Time out. When did that become a thing? You just silently said you weren't going to pay off your bet to Jen?
Not that I wasn't going to.
What do you mean?
No, but just mentally in my mind, I felt like there was no urgency to pay it off when she hadn't done hers from 2 years. So now she's paid off hers. Now I feel an urgency. I have a date set.
That's the most un-Craig Karmazin thing to wait for other people. You don't wait.
Yeah.
When they zig, you zag.
Exactly. I have a date set, and so we'll talk about that coming up.
Wait a minute. Hey, you got a date set? You didn't tell us?
This is when I'm announcing the date. I have not announced
There's
the
no
date
conversation. What if some of us are out of town? I hope it's not when I'm out of town.
You won't be at a Brewers game because you don't support them ever.
Here we go. What is wrong with the people who sit in that chair that all of a sudden want to try to tear me down and my love for the Packers, Brewers, Badgers, and Bucks?
You have great love for everyone. I just don't understand how you don't go to more Brewers games. They're great.
They are fun. They really are. I love going to
it. So we were literally at the IHOP, and it was like the top of the fifth, and we were like, all right, let's go. So we went over to the Brewers game. We bought tickets in the third inning we were getting IHOP. We 400 level, whatever. And we popped over. We were there by the bottom of the fifth. Brewers, gutty, gritty Brewers, stage a comeback, tie the game. Instant replay overturns it. They end up losing 6-5. But you had such a fun night there. And we're going to get into some Father's Day stuff. But that night, you had Bill Schroeder celebrated for his anniversary with the Brewers, brought back all sorts of people, including Matt Vasgersian. To me, one of the most entertaining people I've ever seen do a game on TV.
Amazing. The voices the Brewers have had is amazing.
Right? I mean, Brian Anderson's like as good as any voice in any sport, right? But then Charles Barkley also this week announces that he will be retiring from broadcasting and from being on TV at the end of next season. And Charles Barkley would probably be my number one of all time when I'm thinking most entertaining. So I was thinking about it Mount Rushmore style. Who are your four most entertaining, and entertaining is a tricky word, sports broadcasters of all time, or sports personalities of all time, on TV? We're talking about on TV. Four most entertaining TV sports personalities of all time. That's what we're looking for today. And I'm working through mine, and you can hit us on the talk and text line. You can give a call, 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. Also, because it is Father's Day, I actually heard them talking about this early this morning on ESPN Radio. Also, if you have a great father memory, sports and your dad, or sports as a dad, share that with us as well. We will ask Kyle that question along the way. I'll share mine. But your best sports memory, mine was not the Brewers almost winning on Friday night and coming back. It was not involving Snoop Dogg calling the game, but that was pretty awesome. I know. Was that like
you've
a
never,
news?
You've never heard the song? And when the pimp's in the crib, mine drop it like it's hot.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, yeah, and yeah. It started a song.
Oh, I didn't know that was like such a signature Snoop sound. So who are, like, who comes to your mind when I say most entertaining sports TV personalities of all time?
I mean, the number one most entertaining sports TV personality of all time is not even close.
Ooh. Are you going to say? John Madden.
John Madden.
Hey, I was going to say, are you saying John Madden?
John Madden had a video game. John Madden was legendary. John Madden had all the phrases and the terms that we love to hear. And John Madden really, by himself, elevated football. Not by coaching, but by being a broadcaster and having a video game, elevated football. So kids would play the video game and get attached to football through the video game and not so much always having to watch.
And John Madden became kind of a caricature of himself with the drawing things and the boom and all that. But he still was, like, you definitely watched longer when he was doing the game. The same way I will stay up, or I will, like, all right, halftime, I can't do anything because Charles and, you know, the Inside the NBA crew is coming up. So I think it's going to be hard to keep John Madden off the list, as it will be, in my mind, Charles Barkley, I know, is on the list. What about Bill Walton, who just passed away?
Yeah,
where do you put him? I mean, because you throw on those random, you know, Pac-12, Pac-10 in the day, college basketball games. He used to be an NBA guy.
Yeah.
And, like, he was doing, like, big-time NBA, like NBA Finals games, NBA Conference Finals games back in the day. And Bill Walton, if we're talking just pure entertainment, I feel like he's got to be up there.
He was definitely entertaining, but I don't think he was shifting in a point where people wanted to always tune in and hear Bill Walton. Like, yeah, when I heard him, like, oh, Bill Walton's doing the game, that should be fun, right, if you're watching late night. But overall, for somebody my age, it's like Bill Walton was not someone that they're going to make a video game after, not someone that you're going to say, oh, I want to mimic my career.
What about Bill Raftery?
Nah, he's the one. Absolutely.
So Raft
with the kiss.
So Raftery's more of the, like, suck you in, like, but man, lingerie. You
but
know,
he was on, a main stage. He was doing national championship games, right? So he was doing big
but
time.
But Raft wasn't for, I mean, but, he but, only has been in the last 5 years. Oh, I mean, Raftery has really earned that over time. It took a long time for him to break through and start to get those A-plus assignments and, you know, be
fantastic.
Named, you know, when Billy Packer, you know, it was Nance and Billy Packer all those years. And it was a big deal. You know, when all of a sudden it became Raft and Grant Hill, you know, doing those games with Jim Nance, which is now Ian Eagle.
Yeah, I mean, those are some of the – he's definitely a big name there. You also – Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, I didn't even think of him. Yeah.
Absolute legend.
Got to give him credit. I agree. There's no way he's making my top four, Bradshaw. He's entertaining, and you got to give him credit. For some reason, I don't see him making my top four. That's what we're looking for. Your top most entertaining sports TV personalities in honor of – Charles Barkley announcing his retirement. Matt Vasgersian, former Brewers play-by-play voice, back in town this week celebrating the great Bill Schroeder, who hit his 30 years with the Milwaukee Brewers. It's crazy because when I got to Wisconsin, I was like, God, Bill Schroeder's been here forever. He's old. That was like 27 years ago. So he must have been kind of new back then.
We have been very lucky to have these analysts who have been around for a very, very long time as well. With the Milwaukee Bucks, John McLaughlin was around for a very long time, and now you got Bill here as well. Like, and then rocking whatever who are in the booth for the Packers.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Let's go to Howard. You're on Sunday Karma. Morning, Howard.
Good morning. That one's a little crunchy. I would have to put in a vote for Howard Cosell.
Oh, so Kyle, you weren't even alive when Howard Cosell was alive. And I, like, just got the edge of Howard Cosell. And the thing was, like, I feel like Howard Cosell, and you share his name, so I'm expecting a lot out of you here, Howard. I feel like sometimes he was the play-by-play guy, but sometimes he was actually, the analyst and commentator, right? Like, he played both roles.
Well, yeah, he kind of did more than his share. The trouble is to keep him quiet. But if you YouTube that stuff that he did with Muhammad Ali, that's insane.
Yeah, and I feel like he also was, though, versatile, right? Because he was Monday Night Football. He did baseball. You know, his Muhammad Ali was probably his biggest.
He was the one who announced the death of John Lennon right in the middle of Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, and for pure entertainment, it's going to be hard to have this list without Howard Cosell. Thanks, Howard. Good call. Michael in Middleton dropped some names. Bill Walton, which we'd shared. Max McGee. Bob Costas. Costas, so good. I don't know if I would go put him at the top of the list of entertaining. He's so good. I listened to him in a podcast last week, and he's just still incredible. And Frank Caliendo. What about Caliendo, Kyle, as a most entertaining sports personnel? Because he could be John Madden. He could be Jim Rome. He could be Charles Barkley. He could be Bill Walton. Actually, we should – God, should we try to get Frank on to, like
– Oh, you know Frank?
Do his list of his most entertaining sports personalities?
You know Frank?
Come on. Everyone knows Frank.
Not everyone. I mean, am I part of everyone? I don't know Frank Caliendo.
Everybody knows Frank.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. Go through the Rolodex and hit up old Frank to see if he can call in and do all his impressions of all the greatest. I mean, John Gruden was pretty dang good as well when you're talking about, you know, with the impressions that Frank did. John Gruden was pretty good. It wasn't
long-lived. Now, does that mean, but basically, the fact that Frank Caliendo would imitate you, does that mean you should be on this list? Because, you know, Caliendo only really did people who were memorable enough, who cut through the clutter enough. Because you think about the names that we're saying are a lot of the names that Caliendo does.
That's very true, yeah. I mean, if he did you, that means you were popular enough to do it. I remember the days before Frank Caliendo got popping, when Jimmy Kimmel used to be on the Fox team
Totally.
Those are the days I used to love. And here's the thing, like James Brown, he's been around for a long time, but I don't know if he's somebody, he moves the needle because obviously you don't move from one TV station to another, but James Brown is a big name as well.
A big name, but I don't think he's entertaining. Like, we're talking about entertaining. Like, are you really entertained by James Brown? Like, he's just solid.
He's comforting.
Like, that's like saying Greg Gumbel. Is solid. That's what I'm saying about Bob Costas. Bob Costas is so good. But I don't know if he's on the list of most entertaining.
There's probably not as many as we think.
Now I will say Marv Albert, who used to play-by-play, was hilarious. And to me, he was entertaining. So he was able to, as a play-by-play guy, which is sort of harder, to actually also be entertaining while you're doing play-by-play. So I think that's part of this list that's really interesting. And by the way, when you do call in, if you do have a memory you want to share, sports sports memory in honor of Father's Day, either a memory with your father or as a father. You could also drop in those. Let's talk to Chad. You're on Sunday Karma. Morning, Chad.
Morning, Craig. I got one that was in the booth with Howard.
In the booth with Howard. All right, who are you going to go with?
I'm going with Dandy Don.
Oh, see, I missed. So what was his, like, shtick or what made him memorable?
I think the honest-to-goodness truth was he was always loaded.
When you say loaded, does that mean he was drunk?
He had just
something?
The most, you know, he'd sing, he was incredible.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to think, like, is there even an equivalent of that these days? Or in, like, this day of, you would seem like everything's, like, lighter now, but are all the analysts all super serious these days?
I guess now that I say that, maybe definitely on the top four Mount Rushmore, Harry Carey.
Yeah, Harry Carey. So basically, Chad, you just want your list of top four people who feel like they might be drunk while they're doing the game. That's basically the list you're doing. So,
right.
So is Bob Uecker on that list then? Does Uecker
get
on that list?
Oh, wow, no, not you.
Because, you know, I mean, do we think...
I was gonna say Uke, but he only does radio. Well, I guess he did some TV back in the day.
Yeah,
but,
he was. I mean, he
yeah,
was.
Uke would.
He was Sunday afternoon baseball. Four. Like I wasn't even living in Wisconsin,
right.
And I would see Uke all the time doing those games.
Well, Bob Uecker's on the list then.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks,
Have a good
Chad.
Sunday, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, man. Happy Father's Day. Uke Uke is so good that literally it's like with most of these things, like, oh, Uke's eligible? Oh, then he's definitely on the list. All right, let's continue to talk about this. It is a fun list. We're continuing to get many more texts coming in. You can shoot us a call now, 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Kyle, are you ready with your Father's Day, your best memory of sports with your dad? Do you have that for us when we come back?
Yeah, we'll get one up.
Oh, it's always get the tissues. Story time with Kyle coming up, and we're going to continue to take your calls and your texts. Most entertaining sports TV personalities in honor of Excursion Back in Town and in honor of Charles Barkley saying he is going to be hanging it up after next NBA season. Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Oh, the texts are awesome right now. It is Father's Day, and it is the week where Matt Viscursion was back in town and Charles Barkley announced that he'll be retiring at the end of the year. So we're asking you for your most entertaining TV sports personalities. And we are also talking about Father's Day and your best sports memory as a dad or with your dad, Kyle Wallace.
You didn't know love from Darren Sutton?
What about him?
He was great, too.
I love Darren Sutton. Darren's my guy. Yeah. I mean, he's not at the entertainment level to me.
Oh, the Buckethead Brigade. That, I mean, listen, those two.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
When he would do the extra inning stuff, Darren Sutton was awesome
they were,
his
yeah,
time here.
Like I said.
I love Darren Sutton.
The Milwaukee Brewers.
Good call by you. I undersold my Darren Sutton love.
I don't think any organization in baseball, and I'm obviously jaded and I'm also skewed.
You're like, I don't know any organization in baseball. I only actually know the Brewers local announcers.
No, for real though.
But you don't know any of the other teams.
To go from Matt Viscursion to Darren Sutton to Brian Anderson, I mean, all three guys. I mean, Matt Viscursion did national stuff. Matt Viscursion was the voice of MLB baseball.
He was the voice of the XFL, too.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Viscursion went on to do amazing things. Brian Anderson is going and doing NBA games, college basketball. The Milwaukee Brewers have an incredible, incredible eye for finding broadcast
Tyler
talent.
Barnes is a genius.
I don't even, is that who finds?
Who makes this?
Oh, he is a genius. He dead serious. He is a genius.
Send the tape of this show to Tyler Barnes.
I would do it. I didn't know who he was, but shout out to him because he has found some legends.
He has. You're trying to rank them. I think you actually have to put BA at number one, but you don't even want to rank them because BA is just such a solid broadcaster. Vaskirjan was the most entertaining. Sutton was maybe the most grassroots, like connected to the fans.
Because his dad played here.
Don Sutton, yeah. But he also was so good at during the extra inning games, he'd be interacting, getting people.
And we sucked during that
still
time.
Watching the games in the 14th inning. I remember he'd keep you watching longer.
There was a game in the early 2000s where the Brewers went to 16 innings. And I just, it was like a 1 a.m., ended up going to 1 a.m., and I remember just staying up and watching, and kind of what you're talking about, who's still watching. I felt a connection as a child, be like, oh, yeah, I'm still watching. I'm still in this.
Yeah, Darren Sutton was awesome. Yeah, and you're right. We've had incredible broadcasters. All right, before we get it back into that list, or are we going to get, you know what? Yeah, we got to get on time for Wildy. All right, so we're going to get back to all your texts that are coming in on entertaining sports personalities. But Kyle, your sports memory with your dad.
Yeah, so here's the thing. When it comes to sports memories, my dad didn't take me to too many sports games. A lot of times they sent me and my brother, my big brother, I just went with him to whether it was a Brewers game or a Bucks game. We went to a couple Brewers games, and I remember me and my dad went to go see Yovani Gallardo, his first ever game that he pitched.
Yep.
I asked my dad, hey, Yovani's about to pitch. Can we go? And he said, yeah, and he took me there. So that was a great memory. And also that game was against the San Francisco Giants where Barry Bonds was chasing, I believe it was chasing seven, was it? I think it was chasing 700 at the time. But really, it's not a sporting event. One thing for me, for the best sports memory for my dad is every step along the way, when I asked my dad to coach my team, so when I started playing football, I played for a team, 7-8, and then the dads who were coaching the team, they went off because their sons got older.
Yeah,
and so then it was an opening. I said, hey, Dad, can we coach? He said, I won't be the head coach, but I'll be assistant coach. He coached me then in youth football. And then when Whitefish Bay started a football program, I got to play for my school. I said, hey, Dad, can you coach? And he said, yep. So he was on the coaching staff for that, right? My dad's not very loud. And not like we used to do relaxation stuff with him. He's not the loud voice. He's not your typical coach. But if I asked for him to coach, my dad was going to be there to coach me for football anytime that I asked. So that's my biggest sports memory.
That's a time commitment. Knowing he wants to be around.
And remember, I didn't live in Whitefish Bay. I lived in Milwaukee. My dad worked in Milwaukee. So making sure, by 3:30, he would get off of work, drive to be able to coach me in practice was something that was always special, having those memories. And I got to be known as one of the coach's kids, right? But it was always special to have my dad right there coaching me since basically the age of 8 or 9, all the way to the age of basically 14 when I went to high school.
Wow! So through junior high, your dad, and the fact that you wanted him, some people are I don't want my parents coaching that's but you wanted him there.
Yeah, I know. I most definitely did. So that's really you have different sporting events that you go to, but actually having your dad be your coach is something that you'll always remember, is having him coach you and making those memories together.
That is really special. We are going to continue to hit this list. By the way, David Gruber. Text in, Dickie V. How did we miss Dickie V?
Oh, that's bad. That's
how
bad
did we
on
miss
us.
Dickie V? I actually had to give him credit. I was just going to be like, David, David, who's an attorney, texts in and says Dickie V. But, I mean, that's pretty bad. I mean, Dickie V elevated all of college basketball, right?
He was the voice. He was the voice of, really, basketball, college basketball.
Dude, to me, he is the John Madden. Yep, that's a great comparison. But he was even more, because he was in the student section, mm-hmm. Before the mm-hmm. games.
Oh.
He was,
you know what? We keep forgetting another person who's the voice as well, Lee Corso. I can't believe we're forgetting
the old guy.
Lee Corso as well. I mean, college game day would not be what it is today.
And when we say entertaining, he's putting on the mascot helmet. He's doing...
Not so fast, my friend. He had all, we messed up, but we got it. We here. Thank you.
I know, but we're going to have to start narrowing this down by the end of the show. I mean, we have a big list to try to narrow down. I don't know how those guys did it. Maybe I guess we've seen it. There are not that many good presidents. There's a lot of good people. And, I understand why Mount Rushmore only had 4, but come on now. We're going to have 30 on our entertaining sports broadcasters. One of those who may be on the list... Jason Wilde, he joins us next. Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Daddy made a soldier out of me.
Ooh, Daddy made me dance. Got some great texts coming in as we jump in with Jason Wilde. We're talking about our most entertaining sports personalities in honor of Charles Barkley announcing he'll be retiring at the end of the year and Matt Viskersian being back in town. And also, your best Father's Day memory with your dad or as a dad. Kyle talking about his dad being his coach. It was really cool. Scott, Texas. One of the best moments with my dad was when we watched CC Sabathia. He had us tied with the Mets on the last day. And everyone watching the Marlins beat the Mets on the concourse, the energy at Miller Park was electric. Scott bringing us back to some great memories. Jason Wilde bringing us in to the memories. Jason, are you on the way to a sporting event as a dad right now?
No, we have a pole vaulting practice this evening. But other than that, we've got a pretty wide open day, so it's less than ideal that it's raining here in Green Bay.
Y'all kids are active.
Yeah, they are.
Active. Nonstop.
Yeah, we're really lucky. They were very nice. They made some cards and got me new underwear, which is a staple of Father's Day gift giving for at least my girls. And I was telling them, and I get sappy all the time, as you guys know, but we're really lucky. Like, they're not perfect by any stretch, but they do not make parenting difficult. And I know there are lots of other parents that have been through much more challenging scenarios than we have to this point. I know there are challenges around the corner, but we're really lucky. So on Father's Day, I think more about how lucky I am that I've got two amazing kids than actually my role in that part of it.
Well, Jason, your role this week was lighting the fire on the fire starter of Aaron Rodgers. And I was with you, though. I mean, you and I are probably Aaron's biggest defenders, and it seems like the only times we don't defend him are when he doesn't show up to things in the offseason, which is what happened once again this year.
Yeah, and you know, I've always told him that I'm never going to – and not just him. Really anybody that I cover, because I really do think that it's really important to be able to have the A, courage of your conviction, but B, be willing to stand up. And if somebody's pissed about what you said, to be able to talk to them face to face. I certainly went through it with Favre. I went through it with other players as well. Had a couple of moments with Rodgers during his playing career where we disagreed on things. But after I said what I did when Evan was on with us on Thursday, I did send him a text and say, hey, look, I always told you I'd say whatever I said publicly, I would say to your face, and I don't get to see you at your locker anymore. So this is what I said. I stand by it. We actually ended up going back and forth for a while. I'll keep the contents of that private, but my favorite part was, I don't really care what you say. It's low resonance. So I will share that part. And I replied with, well, good. I'm glad you don't care what I say. And look, I do think there's a little bit of nuance to this, because the question that I had as I watched Matt LaFleur send Jair Alexander home early, excused, send Xavier McKinney
home. Wait.
Home,
can we
send...
we got to go back. Did he said that your comments are low resonance?
That's what he said, yeah.
Wait, I had to Google resonance real quick. In physics, resonance refers to a wide class of phenomena that arise as a result of matching temporal or spatial periods of oscillatory objects. Man, he said you're low of that.
Yeah, it doesn't resonate. But it's fine. The point being...
By the way, did you hear what Brooks Koepka did this week?
I did not.
So, Kyle, did you hear about Brooks Koepka?
I did not.
He didn't do his... post-round press conference after one of his rounds this week. And one of the golf reporters like texted him, was like, hey, you didn't show up. Like, would you mind like answering my questions over text? And he ended up doing it. He ended up doing his post-match press conference over text. And in the process said like, why would I need to stay? You guys would ask stupid questions anyway that would be dumb. And it was like fantastic over text. So maybe, Jason, that could be the future of how you get players of this generation to actually be more open, just because maybe they're used to doing things on social media and stuff. Maybe you just interview people on text now.
I do that a lot. I always make sure that I say that I didn't talk to the person, that I messaged with them when I write about it or talk about it. But when I would much rather have you come on the show as a guest and people be able to hear your voice. So I'm glad he responded. I understood a little bit more about the situation. I stand by what I said. What I don't understand and what I think is interesting in terms of why this has played out the way it has is that the Jets certainly had the ability to make this a non-story, right? Aaron was here for the entire offseason program. He didn't miss a practice. He didn't miss a meeting. He didn't miss a workout. He's been great with our guys. We wanted to give him some rest on that Achilles before we head into training camp. We've got that gauntlet to start the year with 6 primetime games in the first 11 weeks. We just wanted to give him a couple of extra days. He had a trip planned. We're all good. No problems at all. We excused him. But instead, that's not what Robert Saleh did. And my question was and is, why not? Is it Robert Saleh trying to assert, hey, we're done with this guy being the boss here. This is our team, not his team. He's not in charge, and send that message. There were other players that are older players like him, right? They got Tyron Smith on that team, their punter. Thomas Morstead just had his wife just had a kid. Like, there were ways that they could have not only had Rodgers not there, but some other veteran players not there, and they chose not to. And I do think that more than my opinion, because I think it's hypocritical. I stand by that you get up there and you tell the whole world after the season that we got to get all the distractions out of the building. If it's not about winning, it doesn't belong inside these walls. And then when the 2 mandatory days come, you're not there. I'm sorry, it's a bad look. There's no two ways about it.
See, and for me, it's not as much about that. Like, because I think there is the possibility that it makes sense. And in the past, you know, with all the Packers young players, you and I were aligned that he should have been there. In this case, mm-hmm. if there was a good reason for him not to be there, he chose to go to a team with a terrible culture. Like, we know the Jets are a disaster, right? He chose that. For all mm-hmm. those years, him saying how important culture and all that, he decided, I'm going to go to a team with a terrible culture, maybe because he felt comfortable with the coach, maybe because he felt like he knew certain people. But he decided mm-hmm. to go there. So if you're going to choose to do that, then you know you're going to be part of shaping that culture. And part of that, mm-hmm. I think, would have been making sure to communicate well enough with your coach so that if you were missing a mandatory thing, which I'm okay with him missing, if he was aligned with the coach and if the coach then stood up there and said one of the things you said, that would have made it a non-story. But again, right. This might be Robert Saleh's fault, not Aaron Rodgers, but ultimately...
Oh, here we go.
Ultimately, Aaron Rodgers caused, you know, another thing, which is what he has said he doesn't want to do.
Right, and that's where the hypocrisy comes in, right? And you're right. I do think that for whatever... I don't know Robert Saleh's reasoning. I don't cover him. I don't have a history with him. I can't reach out and text him. But my instinct is... that he wanted to make sure that he sent a message that, hey, he's not above the law here.
So you don't think this was about that they had another veteran who was missing and so they didn't want to risk, you know, the idea of, oh, you're having double standards, you know, you're saying Aaron could do it, but when you trade for a guy, you know, from the Eagles and he doesn't come, you're saying he's a holdout, but Aaron's not, like, so... I thought there might have been some of that in there, that maybe even legally he needed to say that it was inexcused.
I don't think so, because Hassan Reddick wants a new contract, which I think is odd, because from what I was reading, the conditions of that trade, which he had to agree to, remember, because he was the one who precipitated it or facilitated it, was that he was not going to get a contract before the season started. And that's obviously what has happened, and he's not happy, so that's why he's not there. Now, that said, I don't think contractual disagreements and, you know, trips to Egypt are not the same thing. And so in his case, I don't think you needed to do this just because of what Hassan Reddick was doing. I don't. But maybe that, maybe in Robert Saleh's mind he did, right? That's certainly a possibility.
Wait, Jason, trips to Egypt?
That I've seen that reported in a few places. Again, I'm not with him. I don't know what he does in his. I'm thankful that I don't have to cover him on a daily basis, because this is the kind of stuff that their culture in Green Bay right now. And as Craig just said, he and I were pretty staunch supporters of him on a lot of different issues. I will admit it is nice to not have to worry about this stuff. I mean, we were able to write lots of football stories and have lots of football conversations on the show, as opposed to worrying about Aaron Rodgers isn't here for the minicamp.
So, speaking of football stories, does Trevor Lawrence, so kind of now we got this figured out, or we don't have this figured out? And
So Strofe sent me a really interesting message, Alex Strofe, one of our teammates, about this Twitter account or X account, where this guy is like ahead of the curve on all these stories so far this off season, like ahead of Schefter, kind of the latest example of it. And whoever this guy is, you know, I don't know if he works at like an agency, maybe as like a kind of lower level agent or something like that, but he mentioned now that with the deal done for Trevor Lawrence, that the Packers are now racing to get a deal done with Love before Tua or Dak. Now, again, take this for what it's worth. I don't know.
You don't know Pretty Ricky 213?
I do not know Pretty Ricky 213. Thank you for helping me with that. That's what I was looking for. No, I do not know him. I don't know who he is, but he's building a track record of accuracy, so he deserves credit for that. If that's the case, does that mean that the Packers are trying to get a deal done before the price goes up even higher, because they feel like Jared Goff and Trevor Lawrence have now driven up the price on them? I guess that would be what it would mean if that's the case. Again, my biggest thing about this, and I am not playing hindsight is 20/20 here, because I agreed with the move at the time. But as it has turned out, they would have been much better off committing to the fifth-year option if they had known Love was going to be as good as he is, which, again, is evidence that they didn't, right? That Goody and Ball.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's crazy because, like, I've disagreed with Goody every step of the way, and it shows that he isn't about proving he's right, which I think is one of those things that's pretty good to have as a GM, right?
Sure.
Like,
no
I think yeah. if – because the easy move would have been to do the fifth-year option, and he actually, you know, he was so committed. He knew so much about this guy that he was going to trade up and use a first-round pick when you're a Super Bowl contender. So you knew so much about him then, but somehow after having him in your program for 4 years, you didn't know enough to give him the fifth-year option? I mean, that shows that he's not like – you know, just kind of doubling down on, hey, I know this is my guy and I'm in.
Right. And that's exactly what I praised him for at the time. Right. I mean, the quote, and Tausch loves it when I bring this up, but the quote from Goody was, that's a lot of money to pay a guy who hasn't played. Now, for him to say that about his own draft pick, you're 1,000,000% right, Craig, because that tells me that he still believes in, you have to earn your spot and you don't just get $20 million handed to you. But as it turned out, it backfired on them, right? Because it hamstrung them from being able to get like a contract extension done, say in late December, after he had played so well against the Chiefs and the Lions, and he was really starting to roll and playing at a high level. They were completely unable to do that.
But Jason, theoretically, if he had done that contract, then and it was like a $38 million because he hadn't like totally gotten a roll, or $42 million, that contract only would have been good for another year and a half or so, right? Like if Jordan plays the way we thought, then we'd be having the same conversation just another year and a half later of like, hey, they need to redo his deal. I mean, this guy's unbelievable.
And they would. But that's the beauty of these contracts, is that when you do have to do that, because look, the Chiefs are going to have to do this, right? I mean, if you look at where the best quarterback in football is right now, by the time Love and Tua and Dak get their deals done, he's going to be like 10th. Patrick Mahomes is. So they're going to have to redo his deal. You do that. First of all, those types of contracts, the ideal of that is when you redo it then, you're creating more short-term cap space. So,
and Jason, here's my – actually, you know what? When we come back, I'm going to tell Jason why I think, like, the Packers are, you know, should actually be trying to lose this negotiation with Jordan Love. We will discuss that as we continue on Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
All right, I teased this by saying I'm going to explain to Jason why the Packers need to lose this negotiation with Jordan Love. But Kyle just said in my ear as we were coming back in, I have so many questions for Jason about this text message with Aaron, and that he actually replied, and what's going on here. So the floor is yours, Kyle.
Jason, I don't think you understand the groundbreaking news that I've heard for the first time. I'm not sure if you said it on Wildy and Tausch on Friday, but you text Aaron Rodgers, and he responded to what you said. So Aaron Rodgers hears all the noise that's going on about him not showing up to training camp, and he doesn't have to respond to people, but he doesn't think that there should be any clarity that he should bring. The shows that he still is in lockstep with this team in the Jets. There's nothing he feels like he needs to say publicly to calm everything down.
No, I mean, I think he will once he's back in the Jets facility, or once their training camp starts or whatever. But like, I don't know, he's on a trip. So for me anyway, he was not I don't know how aware he was. I did not ask him that. I think he had probably a pretty good idea that this had created a bit of a you-know-what storm in New York, that he was unexcused. But I don't think he felt the need to speak out on it. Like Robert Saleh said what he said. He said he was unexcused. He said that he was going to be subject to fines. And I think Aaron just continued on with what he had going on. It wasn't like, at least from what I could tell from our conversation or text back and forth, it wasn't like he's like been monitoring the story. Like he's doing something, as Saleh said, much more important to him. I just wanted to make sure that, because of our history together and because I always told him that I was going to say things to his face if I had a strong opinion and it wasn't a positive one, I just wanted to make sure that I did what I thought was right. And that's what I did. I believe I wrote right in there, which I don't know if this influenced him deciding to respond, but I said, I don't need you to reply. I'm just want you to know that this is what I said.
You know how to get him, Jason.
So,
and then he called you low resonance. And then he called you low resonance, which is awesome. I want to let Kyle continue to ask questions, but he also never came out when the vice president stuff was out, which I thought that was an easy one that he could have diffused with a quick tweet or whatever. But all right, Kyle, what else you got for Jason?
I mean, I don't want Jason to divulge too much information from the text messages or make Jason feel.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't want to make you.
Oh, you do want him to.
It was a private conversation between you and Aaron Rodgers. I just think it's very interesting that Aaron Rodgers said what he said prior about how he doesn't want any distractions, and then now he's becoming a distraction, and then he's not caring about
it,
right?
But back, you said you have questions about the text message. Do you have any other questions for Jason about the text?
No, I'm going to leave it at that because I'm not going to apply pressure to Jason to divulge anything from that text message that he, you know, I know he doesn't want to make everything public because it's a private conversation.
Everyone knows it's very important to him to go to the Wisconsin Dells to go on water parks every year, and that's where he needed to go, and that was always part of his off-season tradition.
Loves the Ducks. Yes. Yeah, he loves the Ducks.
Yes.
Is the Dells up north?
No. I mean, if you live in Chicago, maybe.
North of where you are.
Yeah, maybe if you live in Chicago. But all right. So, Jason, here's the deal with Jordan Love. He's going to get a lot of money, and maybe – you know, I don't know if it starts with even a six now or whatever it is. But the salary cap is absolutely exploding. And we've seen that like $1 million players, $2 million players, $3 million players, you could end up with the same thing from each of them. But if you truly believe Jordan Love is your franchise quarterback, then the most important thing over the next 12 to 14 years is to be in lockstep with him. And to be able to go to him at any time and say, hey, you know what? We want this guy. Would you mind redoing your deal a little bit so we can bring in this guy or that guy? And right now, when he has not gotten paid his big deal, I believe if you said to him, hey, here's the deal. What do you think you're worth? Okay, you think that? Well, we're going to go exactly to your number and give you all of that because this is a partnership over the next decade plus. And we know this is your first big deal. We want you to get every dollar you feel you deserve because over time, you're going to be having money coming from a lot of different directions. And there may be times we need to come to you to ask you for some of that money for someone else. And let's just agree that that's what we're going to do for the next decade plus. That's how I would do it.
Yeah, I love it. I look, you have forgotten more about being a successful entrepreneur and businessman than I will ever know. I don't want to be a CEO. I don't want to be, I want to be a worker bee. I'm not cut out for that. And everything you said makes great sense. And yet it's still outside the box thinking, right? Which is one of the things you're known for. So I respect all of that. The only thing I would say that would be my pushback on it, and you've already diffused it by saying that this is the most important thing, and whatever I'm going to say after that, you're right, is not nearly as important as what you said. The only thing that I have been saying is that because of where they are in terms of the players that they have that they're really excited about that are all going to be coming due within a 365-day window with free agency in 2026 and 2027 with that rookie class that's going into its third year, Dobbs, Watson, Zach Tom, you've got some really important players that are going to cost you some really good money if they play like you expect them to.
Are Dobbs and Watson really that important though?
Well, but somebody in that wide receiver group has to be. So whether it's them or whether, unless Goody is going to go through this and say, we're just going to replenish.
Yeah, can it be
we're
the guy you draft next year?
Walk? Right, exactly. So if that's what he's going to do, then it's not a problem at all to apply the Craig Karmazin plan. Not at all. And I do think, and we've talked about this before on the show, that I do think that that is something that he is seriously thinking about, is the idea of all these guys are replaceable. He made that comment, and I'm telling you, mark it down in red ink when he said that our studies have shown that these draft classes, on average, you sign 1.6 of your draft picks from a given class to a second contract, 1.6 players. So I think he's setting the table for him to let most guys walk and just keep replenishing. Now, that puts a hell of a lot of pressure on your ability to evaluate talent, for the board to fall the right way and for you to get the guys you want. Those are all factors in that. But I firmly believe that that's part of his thought process. But if there are guys that he deems worthy of a second contract, every $1 million that you save on the Love contract gives you more flexibility to sign these other guys. So I don't think, unless there has been a shift and a major one in the Packers' thought process. That, I mean, I can tell you stories of guys who were really pissed off about their first offer from the Packers in contract negotiations because they were, in their words, offensively low. So I don't know where the Packers started with Love. Again, the bottom line to this is I agree with what you said. I do, 100%. I think that's exactly what they should do. Are they doing it? I guess if they were, it would already be over, right? Because otherwise you wouldn't have waited long enough for these other two guys to even get contracts. So unless they're saying it now, they've kind of gone down the road too far to say, oh, now we're willing to just give you whatever you want.
By the way, Michael and Madison in Middleton texted in that Goody should be sued for GM malpractice for not dealing Rodgers to the Broncos for the deal they got for the Russell Wilson deal.
Revisionist history.
I mean, come on. That's after two straight MVPs. I mean, I know, Jason, you've gone back on a few of these during this discussion, but that one, after back-to-back MVPs, they couldn't do that deal. I mean, right? I mean, that would have been insanity to trade Rodgers off back-to-back MVPs.
I wouldn't go so far as to say insanity. And remember, too, and I saw my buddy Mike Silver was kind of doing a little bit of what I just did with the Rodgers text thing.
And by the way, I was with Russell Wilson at the Super Bowl right before that, and he asked me, where is Aaron Rodgers going? And I said, Aaron Rodgers is going to go to the Broncos.
Wow.
I told him Aaron Rodgers is going to the Broncos, and like for that deal that, so it would have, it, for me, it wouldn't have been, but it was just from the inside information at the time I had from you, Jason, made me feel like Aaron was going to want out the 1 year earlier. And I felt so dumb when Russell Wilson got traded to the Broncos because I literally just told him that Aaron, like, oh, he's like, oh, Craig, like, you're in Wisconsin. You know what's going on. I was like, yeah, Aaron's going to the Broncos. And I wonder if he even knew at that time that he was, like, going to go to the Broncos.
He probably knew something.
No. I didn't know you were so tight with Russell Wilson. But I would say this. You were right. I mean, there. Tampering is so hard to prove, right? Like the Packers actually filed the grievance against the Vikings for the whole Favre saga. And they had what sure seemed like, including like text messages, because Favre's phone was team issued, and they still couldn't win that case. So the Packers, then when it came to Rodgers, didn't even bother. But I know that there are people in that building that were certain that Rodgers was being tampered with both by the Broncos and by the 49ers. And that was the Mike Silver story, was how pissed LaFleur was, which I can confirm is not wrong, at Kyle Shanahan because he was trying to steal his quarterback. And so he had two teams that were smitten with him and wanted to do whatever they could. And remember, too, that before all this other stuff with the Broncos and with the 49ers, that the Rams called the Packers to inquire on whether Rodgers was going to be available before they traded for Matthew Stafford. And Sean McVay, instead of doing it behind the Packers' back and tampering the way Kyle Shanahan allegedly did, Sean McVay and their GM, Les Snead, went through the proper channels, were told that he wasn't available. The Packers stuck to that. Goody insisted they were never trading Rodgers. Unless, I suppose, Rodgers had said, look, I'm not playing for you guys ever again. You're going to have to trade me. Because, in part, this goes back to the fifth-year option thing, Goody didn't know for sure if his guy was the guy and was going to be good enough. Hell, we didn't know through seven games last year. It was Brian Gutekunst himself who said these next 10 games are really important to this organization.
And I guess that's why I'm saying it would have been insanity, right? Like to have traded your two-time MVP for a guy who you weren't sure.
And
a year later,
fair.
Still, you weren't sure, you know, you were willing to pay.
Fair, unless you look at it from, and again, you're a creative thinker, so tell me if you would ever have thought this way. Hey, we can get a truckload of picks.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, right. And, by the way, you get all those picks and you get those picks so that if it turns out you're wrong on Jordan Love, then you're set up to be able to do it. Yeah, of course.
Right. Then you could, hey, we do this. Yeah, you know, if Jordan doesn't pan out, then we've got the ammunition to get the next guy.
Right. Now, even if Aaron goes to Denver and is good and those picks end up being, you know, late first round, late second round type picks, you can still leverage those into some pretty high quality assets.
Right. Especially if you stink, because your pick will be high, and then you can use those to move up even higher.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Michael and Matt Middleton. Jason is not suing Goody for malpractice, but he is saying it wasn't off the table.
Insanity.
Yes, good stuff. Jason, real quick, when you think entertaining sports personality, who are the name or names at the top of your list? Is Charles Barkley announces he is retiring at the end of next season, and Matt Viskersian was back in town for the Bill Schroeder celebration on Friday night.
Yeah, well, first of all, Charles Barkley is what he has become and how lovable and yet unfiltered he is. I am amazed by that. Remember, if you're old enough, he once threw a dude through a window in Milwaukee. In a bar fight. So the fact that he has become what he has, I think, is incredible.
Which, by the way, I believe Chewy is the Wisconsin version of what Barkley's done nationally, where Chewy can be unfiltered and Chewy can be funny and he can be self-deprecating and, you know, all that stuff.
I guess I'm done because that's who I was going to say locally. I was going to – you literally – Tausch and I are in this weird place and it's really starting to irritate him. That we finish each other's sentences a lot. And I think it alarms him. But Chewy was literally the person I was going to say that has done that in Wisconsin. In terms of a player I covered, it's his sidekick, Favre, and of course Frankie too, but Favre most prominently. Like I was just telling this story the other day at Packers practice, which I will reiterate, even though I've told it a number of times over the years. So the Packers go on a team-building expedition during the 04 off-season program, 03, 04. It was under Mike Sherman. And they go to a paintballing place, like outdoor, you're hunting, battling each other. And the media for these team-building activities, we used to go along. Like we'd get to interview guys. We didn't actually go out there and get shot at or play golf with them or go bowling with them, but we were able to cover the events. And so I'm out here at this huge wildlife expanse where they're doing the paintballing, and Favre is waiting for his group to be sent out. And so he's just, you know, shooting the breeze with us. And he was like that all the time with us. And he said, we're not too far from the parking lot. And he says, hey, Jason, which one of these is your cars? And I had just gotten a brand new Saturn, my first brand new car. And I was so proud of it. So I'm a complete idiot. And I say, oh, it's the black Saturn over there. Oh, the one with the gold trim? Yeah. The one with the sunroof open? Yeah. And I turn and look at him, and he's shooting paintballs with a huge arc trying to land them into my sunroof. And by the way, like if he had actually succeeded, like think about the cleanup cost. I would have to like sue the Packers quarterback to get the cleaning done. Fortunately, he missed. He shot four shots, and I went after the event was over, and they were all probably within like 5 yards of my car. I still have the paintballs in my office at Lambeau Field. I saved them. Because it was such an incredible story of me being naive and stupid and him being him and being, you know, kind of crazy and wacky. And I remember coming up to him then once training camp started, and I said, you know, you didn't miss by much, but thank God you missed. He said, how close was I? Like he was actually disappointed that he didn't. And I'm like, you know, you would have had to pay for that. Well, I don't know about that, Jason. So anyway, so that was one glimpse into, in the good times, how much of a character he was.
Well, I was going to say we finish each other's sandwiches, so I would have been off on that one. Thanks, Jason. Happy Father's Day.
Thanks. You too, Craig. Guys, take care. Be good.
There he is. Jason Wilde putting in a little overtime. We got to decide. Does that mean 7-Eleven's gone for the day? Does that mean
we're going to combine the next two breaks? So we're going to be gone 11-16. But we'll be back.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, come on, we got to come back quick. All right, I think we're going to go 7-11. We got so many great texts coming in.
Okay,
Father's Day memories as well as sports personalities. Some names that I just totally forgot about that need to be mentioned here. So much good to continue with you on It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.